Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pushkarta Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gauravani Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirai Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nittam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Bhagavatam. The word Bhagavat means about the Supreme Personality of God. Bhagavan. Things that are spoken about the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedic scriptures, the entire Vedas. The Vedas are vast, huge. All knowledge is Vedas. Veda means knowledge. So all the knowledge is actually the Vedas. Now when there are so many knowledges, so many branches of knowledges, it's very difficult to ascertain what is the real knowledge, what is the essential knowledge. And Bhagavatam is that knowledge. In order to understand that, we can consider at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description that Srila Vasudev, he came. Vasudev actually is an incarnation of the Lord. The Vasudev actually came to present the Vedic knowledge for the fallen conditioned souls of the age of Kali. The age of Kali is actually a very, very degraded age. In this age, people have very short span of life. Their intelligence is practically nil. They're lazy. And at the same time, they're constantly being troubled by all kinds of calamities and crises. Prayanal payusashubhya kalavashmin jugejana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagga hi upadrita. This is the condition of the living entities in the age of Kali. Although people may think that in this age we are making so much advancement, so much technological development, and so much scientific advancement, so much medical advancement. But actually the reality is Alpa Ayusha. Alpa Ayu. Ayu means lifespan. And close the door. Oh, actually, you can't. It's all right. Because they have to go out. Alpa Ayu. Their lifespan is very short. And they're manda, they're lazy. People in this age, we are seeing, they're becoming more and more lazy. People used to be so hardworking before. People used to ride on a horseback. Riding a horseback is the best exercise. But nowadays, how many people ride on a horseback? They are driving on a motor car. Or they used to walk. So we are seeing that with the passing of time, people are becoming more and more lazy, means they are becoming physically more and more inactive. And sumanda matayo, their mentality is very crooked. In this age, they are very wicked-minded people. Sumanda matayo. Manda bhagga. Bhagga means good fortune. Manda bhagga means full of misfortune. People in this age are full of misfortune. And upadruta. Upadruta means attack. They're constantly being attacked, not only by human beings or animals or insects or reptiles. They're being attacked by Mother Nature. Nature is attacking them. Volcanic eruption, earthquake, famine, war. So these are all natural calamities. Tsunami. So this is the condition of this age of Kali. Now, how will people have the time and the mentality and the ability to understand the Vedas? So Vasudev considered that their lifespan will be very short. And plus they won't have any intelligence, they will be constantly troubled so much that they won't have any time whatsoever. Therefore, Vasudev, before the Kali Yuga began, Vasudev started his work. He divided the Vedas in four categories. Rig, Sham, Yaju, Atharva. Then he classified various other branches of knowledge. History. History from the beginning of the creation. If we go to the Vedas, we find that different lines are coming from practically from the beginning, from Brahma. From Brahma to his sons, the Prajapatis. Atri, Kardam, Kashyap, they are the progenitors. One of the main progenitors is Kashyapa. From Kashyapa came different lines. Then we find Manu. From him another line is coming. Vivashvan to Manu. Then from that the line is coming. The line of royalty. So this way we can get the history. So we can trace back all the way to Brahma. Of different lines. So this is the Vedas. So profound knowledge that it goes to the very beginning of creation practically. And then he gave Puranas. He gave Upanishads. He gave Dharma Shastras. Samhitas, all these Vasudev established. And then finally he gave Vedanta, the essence of the Vedas, the Vedanta. He just gave it. Vedanta Sutra. Sutra means aphorisms. Aphorism means in symbolic way, in short words, in very short words, but has great meaning. But still, Vasudev was not satisfied. He felt that his work hasn't been completed. He thought it has been completed, doing it all the way up to the Vedanta Sutra. Naturally, everything has been presented. So why this discontentment? So when Vasudev was in that condition, then Narad Muni came to him. And he asked, "So Vas, how are you? Why do you look so discontent? What happened? You have done so much. Still why you're discontent?" And then Narad Muni, then Vasudev admitted, that yes, I don't know why it seems that my work hasn't been completed. Something is left. Something hasn't been done. So, then Narad Muni started to advise him. His advice was, although you have described everything, you have done so much. You have not only divided different branches of wisdom, but you have trained your disciples with these different branches. You made them an authority of separate branches. And then you have given the Vedanta Sutra. But what you haven't done is the simple glorification of the Supreme Personality of God. Because the purpose of the entire Vedas is to understand the Lord and sing His glory. That you haven't done. And he very systematically reminded him. Bhavatanudya prayam jasho bhagavatam malam jenai vaso na tasyata manne tad darshanam khilam. You have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. So in one word, Narada Muni pointed out that what Vasudeva has done so far is useless, worthless. So what makes things worthwhile? What makes things worthwhile is the simple glorification of the Lord. Because that is the main purpose of all knowledge. All the philosophy, all learning, all... In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a verse. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that. Sheshe biddar phal janiho nishchay. Krishna Padu Padme Janam Chitta Vritti Roy. Emphatically understand, fully understand that the purpose of all knowledge is to become fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna Padu Padme Janam Chitta Vritti Roy. So, in this way, Narad Muni pointed out to Vasudeva that the real goal of all the Vedas, real goal of all knowledge is to develop attachment to Krishna and sing His glories. In this way, then what happens? There are different aspects of the Vedas. There is a Vedas have Chatur Varga, four aspects. Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. Acting according to the Vedic injunction is Dharma. When one acts according to the Vedic direction, then he gets artha. Artha means actually wealth. Artha means wealth. But what is actual wealth? Actual wealth is piety. Pious activity is real wealth. And when one has this piety, then yes, he gets whatever he wants. Wealth is actually a medium of exchange. Money. What is money? Money is a medium of exchange. Like with this paper or money, we cannot eat. With this money as such, we don't get anything. But with that, we can get what we want. I want food. Okay. Take the money, give me the food. I want nice dress. Take money, give me the dress. I want ornaments. Take money, give me the ornaments. So this is how money is actually the medium of exchange. If I have money, I can get what I want. And that is wealth. But the real wealth is piety. That is what people should remember. Nowadays people are becoming so sinful. And they do not know, they do not understand how much they'll have to suffer because of their sinful activities. So, artha. And when you get artha, then kama. Then you can fulfill our desire. And when after fulfilling desires, still we feel that we are not content, we are not happy, we are not satisfied, then moksha, liberation. I wanted to enjoy here, but instead of enjoying, I am suffering. So, this is the place of suffering, so let me get out of here. Moksha. Get out of here. Liberation. So this Chaturvarga takes up to that. Get out of here. But the question remains, what after that? You get out of here, but then what? So, Bhagavatam is actually providing that answer. Not only what we'll do after getting out of here, but how to properly get out of here. What happens when we surrender to the Lord, serve Him, and sing His glory? When we surrender unto Him, then He takes care of us. When we don't surrender unto Him, then we are on our own. Okay, you are on your own. You earn your living, you are responsible for everything. And as you sow, so shall you reap. You act nicely, you will enjoy. You act wrongly, you will suffer. Simple law of karma. So, that is the condition. Like we are on our own now. But when we surrender, then we don't have to worry about ourselves. We can consider the father. Father is there to take care of his children. Father is there. He always takes care of his children. And when the father is very wealthy, his children are so well taken care of. But if the son says, I don't like you, I hate you, I don't want to be with you. And he leaves. When he leaves, then actually voluntarily, he is rejecting the father. The father is not rejecting him. He is rejecting the father. And because he rejected the father, he is inviting all kinds of difficulties for himself. When he was in his father's house, food was coming every day in time, pocket money was there, everything was being provided. But now he'll have to fend for himself. Now he'll have to get a job. Now he'll have to earn money to maintain himself. And he's useless. He doesn't have any ability to do anything. So what happens? He suffers. So that's what happens when one rejects Krishna. Therefore, when one accepts Krishna, it's something like going back to the rich father. Then what is the father's reaction? Does the father say, get out of here? No. The father says, oh, I'm so happy that you came back. And his life becomes joyful. So Krishna is that supreme father. Krishna is that supreme father who is always there to take care of us. Actually, one thing here we have to remember, an ordinary father may not take care of the son when the son leaves home. But this father, even though the son has left him, the father is maintaining him. Okay. But because he wants to make his own arrangement, he is trying to do things for himself, undergoing all kinds of hardships. That's why the intelligent thing to do is to surrender to Krishna. That's what Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita. Surrender unto me. Surrender unto me. And Srimad Bhagavatam is describing what happens when we surrender. When we surrender, then we get to know who He is. When we surrender, then we get to see who Krishna is. Then you get to see He is the Supreme Creator. We got to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but we didn't know Him properly. But Bhagavatam is giving us the information. He is the Supreme Creator. And then you get to know that what is this creation? The creation is innumerable universes in this material nature. And each universe has a specific shape. 14 planetary systems. Each universe has this 14 planetary systems. 7 higher. 7 higher and 7 lower. And then there is the arrangement. These planetary systems are being maintained and controlled by different living entities, different elevated living entities who are known as demigods. They are controlling things, devatas. In this way, and we go further and further, higher and higher, then we get to see ultimately how Krishna is maintaining everything. And then we get to see how Krishna descended as different incarnations. And how he acted. Krishna appeared in different incarnations and he acted in such wonderful way. We get to hear what he did as in his Matsya incarnation, Meena, a transcendental fish at the time of devastation. How he saved his devotees. He assumed the form of a fish because the whole creation is going to be inundated. Whole creation is going to be flooded. And now therefore, he appeared as a fish. And he was already told his devotees to make arrangements to take the different species on a boat. And then the boat was tied on the horn of the fish. That fish had a horn. And that is how the creation was maintained. The rest of the creation was destroyed. Only few were saved. Different species of life were saved. Then he appeared as a tortoise. He appeared as a boar. And all the wonderful activities he performed in these incarnations. Then he appeared as Narsingadev. And how he protected his devotees. So all these descriptions about the Lord we get in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why Bhagavatam is so important. That's why Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study. We can get to know who God is, but Bhagavatam tells us in details what he does, what he did. This is one aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam. His wonderful activities in different incarnations. And then the condition of this world, one needs to become free from that. Process of liberation has been pointed out. And in order to become liberated from the material bondage, there is no need to undergo so much austerities and penances. Just surrender unto Him. You'll be liberated. In Nrisimha Puran, Narad Muni is saying that what is the use of performing all these austerities, performing sacrifices, undergoing this austere yoga practice and penances, when one just by offering some fruits and flowers and leaves and water to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The benefit that one derives just by offering some fruits and flowers and leaves and water to the Lord is far greater than millions of years of austerities and penances. Why undergo all these difficulties when the process is so simple? Just surrender to Krishna and offer Him your loving offerings. And what you will benefit that the greatest yogi even cannot imagine. Sometimes I give an example in this respect. That somebody wants to become very rich, he'll have to struggle so hard. He'll have to work so hard, make all kinds of arrangements to become rich. But the son of a millionaire, the son of a billionaire, does he have to do anything? He simply have to recognize who is his father. Immediately billionaire. Doesn't have to do anything. So those who are trying to perform these austerities and penances, they are like struggling hard to get some wealth. Whereas by accepting Krishna, one achieves the inconceivable wealth beyond their imagination. So, that is how simple it is. Liberation becomes so easy. That's why it is said that devotee doesn't have to worry about liberation. He's, because he's already liberated. He's beyond liberation. This devotion to Krishna is beyond liberation. Mukti and beyond mukti is bhakti. So much so that Mukti Devi, the personality who awards liberation, Mukulitanjali, with folded hands, tells the devotees, please engage me in your service. Mukti Devi becomes his maid servant. That is the position of a devotee. So that is how exalted. Because a devotee is the dear child of the Supreme Personality of God. And in this way, Vasudev was instructed by Narad Muni. Now broadcast that message. Whatever you have done is fine. It was needed. Like, in order to climb onto a height, you have to use a ladder. All this Karmakanda section and Gyanakanda section of the Vedas are this ladder. But what is the top roof? Is bhakti. So this ladder is needed. But then again, if one gets into a lift, then he doesn't need the staircase, he doesn't need the ladder. So bhakti is like that, no need of the ladder. Get into the lift, go to the topmost story. So Narad Muni instructed Vasudev, therefore, to glorify the sublime glory of the Supreme Personality of God. Broadcast the sublime glory of the Supreme Personality of God. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question? Yes? I won't be able to hear you. Is there any mic here?
Guru Maharaj, thank you for wonderful class. Guru Maharaj, you told that whatever we do, we should do as Krishna's glorification, means glorify Krishna. So whatever we do in spiritual life, how we know that we are doing it for Krishna's glorification? In how we can know that whatever we are performing?
You have to simply consider who you are glorifying. Is it difficult to find out whether it's for Krishna's glorification? Like when you go and tell people, chant the holy name and describe about Krishna, whose glorification you are singing? I can understand your point also. Sometimes we do it for our own aggrandizement. I am a big devotee. I can speak so nicely about Krishna. People will recognize me. Even that is good. Because it is being done for the sake of Krishna. Because in the process, you are glorifying Krishna. But as much as possible, that tendency should be given up. It should be only for Krishna's pleasure, not for my pleasure. Alright? Like, sometimes we find some kathakars, they speak about Krishna. They speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. But their intention is 5 lakh rupees per lecture. So that is not the glorification of Krishna. Glorification of Krishna is simply for the sake of His pleasure, not for our pleasure. Anyway, and we have to also remember that Krishna is seeing us. Krishna is seeing us. I may fool others, but I'll not be able to fool Krishna. He's seeing everything. He knows everything. With that understanding, with all honesty and earnestness, we should sing the glory of Krishna. All right? Thank you. Is there any question in the internet? Okay. Yes, Archana.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. We can see how naturally in India people say thank you for the Vishnu-katha, Ram-katha, they like to hear, naturally they come from to listen. So how to take them to the step of accepting from the rules or regulations? Because they also mention Vishnu-katha.
Don't worry about what they are doing. You preach with proper intention. And it will work. Like so many people have become devotees. Not because of Ram Katha or that Katha, this Katha. They have been attracted by pure Krishna Katha by Prabhupada. They are doing all that, but how many people are becoming devotees? Not a single one. Right? But in ISKCON, our temple is full. They go to listen to them, they get a huge gathering. But do their life change? No. Remains the same. So what's the use? Does it answer your question? Any other question? Hare Krishna. At the back there is a question. Hare Krishna.
My question is that if we commit any offense for the devotee or any devotee, so how can we apologize it?
Go to him and beg forgiveness. As you said, how to apologize? Go and apologize to him. Alright? Whoever you think that you have offended, go to him and tell him, I'm sorry about that.
But Guru Maharaj, I feel that it is not that, he is also anger from me, but not happy from me.
Well, if he remains angry after you apologize, then what can you do? Forget it. Because a Vaishnava, not even a Vaishnava, just a gentleman even, when somebody comes and apologizes, then he says, okay, it's alright. Isn't it? He accepts his apology. But if somebody says, no, I don't accept your apology, then what can you do? All you can say is Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna. Alright. Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.